the nature of the other senses or the nature of their controllers. But the living being, because of his spiritual nature, can know his body, the life acts, the senses, the elements and the sense objects. And he can also know the three qualities that form their roots. Nevertheless, although the living being is completely aware of them, he is unable to see the supreme being who is omniscient and unlimited. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you, unto him. Because they are only matter. The body, the life acts, the external and internal senses,
the five gross elements,
and the subtle sense objects, form, taste, smell, sound, and touch. Cannot know their own nature. Who cannot know their own nature? What is the general term?
Matter.
So matter cannot know their own nature. Why can't matter know their own nature? Yeah, because it is dull matter, we say, right? It does not have consciousness. So they cannot know their own nature. Now the second part of the translation. But the living being, because of his spiritual nature, can know his body, the life acts, the senses, the elements, and the sense objects. And he can also know the three qualities. That form their roots. So who can know the body and all the sense?
Living
entity. Why a human entity can know it? Spiritual nature. So anything that is spiritual has got the potency or a tendency to understand things. Anything that is material does not have the tendency to understand things. So if we act on a material platform, what will happen? We will not understand things as they are. If we act on the spiritual platform, what will happen? We will be able to understand what things are as they are. So this is one thing that we will discuss. Why material? Because as a living entity, we have got the ability to be on the material side or on the spiritual side. Because we are known as tatastha shakti. Tatastha means?
Marginal
potencies. So we can always be on any side of the fence. We can be in the spiritual realm or we can be in the material realm. So we discuss this more in detail. So we were like that. And we can also know the three qualities that form their roots. Nevertheless, although the living being is completely aware of them,
he is unable to see the supreme being,
who is omniscient
and unlimited.
I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So, now the third part to this is, even though the living entity has got the ability to understand spiritual things, but still he cannot understand the supreme being, supreme personality of Godhead. Why? Is supreme personality of Godhead not in the spiritual realm? Ignorance. Yeah. Ignorance is one of the answers. But there is who is omniscient and unlimited. As it is mentioned by Dutta, he is omniscient and unlimited. What does that mean? What does omniscient mean?
All knowing.
All all knowing, and so there are three characteristics of the Supreme Lord. He's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. So, what is omniscient? He knows everything, past, present, future. What is omnipotent? What does omnipotent mean?
All pervading.
Yes. Unlimited power. He can act on with any other senses. He can act. So he does not have to eat with his mouth only. He can eat with his eyes. So all his senses are equally powerful. So he is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He is present everywhere. And it is mentioned he is unlimited. Unlimited means? Unlimited. So he is beyond the conscious. So he is Vibhu. Where we are? Anu. What does Vibhu and Anu mean? We are infinitesimally small and he is unlimitedly vast. Because of this three portions of omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, he is beyond the perfect, or he cannot be understood by which is infinitesimally small living entity. So, even though we are both of spiritual nature, but still it is impossible for a living entity to understand the Supreme Lord without the mercy of the Lord. So, that's, we'll come to that as well. So, Daksha is saying, I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Material scientists can make an analytical study of the physical elements, the body, the senses, the sense objects, and even the air that controls the vital force. But still they cannot understand that above all this is the real spiritual realm. In other words, the living entity, because of his being a spirit soul, can understand all the material objects, or when self-realized, he can understand the Paramatma upon whom yogis meditate. Nevertheless, the living being, even if advanced, cannot understand the Supreme Being, the personality of Godhead, for he is Ananta, unlimited, in all six opulences.
Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishwam Sartam Yena Bhutam Svam Kumpa Paramya Vrati Svara Paratitam Vandiyam Shri Guru Shri Kapatam Shri Guru Vajnavam Shri Shri Rupam Sargyatam Sarnagmatam Vidantam Sarjivam Sarvatam Sarvutam Tadjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanyam Shri Tata Krishna Paratam Sarnavita Shri Shatamita Nishya Shri Krishna Karuna Sarnavita Dina Bandhu Karapate Gokesha Gokita Tanta Radha Tanta Mastate Tashti Tanta Nolan Kira Devinda Nishya Krishudana Mastate Devi Pranamani Mari Vanta Tata 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 Shri Rasmindu Vrata Padidana Pavakyo Vashnavityo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vrata Shivasani Gora Bhakta Vrata Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Rama
Hare Krishna. Okay, so here in the translation we are discussing about matter. We are discussing about spiritual energy, and we are discussing about the knowledge by which we can understand the Supreme Being. And then in the purport, Prabhupada is describing three kinds of living entities. The first one Srila Prabhupada is describing is material scientist. The second one Srila Prabhupada is describing is the yogis or the transcendentalists who are trying to understand the Lord. And the third kind of living entities are the, which the Prabhupada is not directly mentioning, but to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to be devotee. of the Lord. So, this verse is giving, this is part of the Hamsapurya prayers or the prayers of Daksha. And in this verse,
So, let's understand
Daksha. So this is Daksha coming from which manantra is going on now, right now? Sixth manantra, sorry. Loudly.
Hamsa
Guhya Prayas. Hamsa Guhya Prayas. Yeah, I'm talking about the manantara. Which manantara is going? Sixth manantara, right? How many manantaras are there? 14 manantaras are there, yeah. Right? So, when did Daksha first appear? So the first time Daksha appears in fourth canto. So that was in which manantara? Swayambhu manantara. The first manantara. So we have to understand just the background so that we can understand the tendencies and the knowledge and the living entities and the Lord, how they all fit together. So Daksha was first seen in fourth canto of first manantara, which is Swayambhu Manu, along with Swayambhu Manu, when he performed Daksha Yajna, but he committed one offense, right? You all know what did he commit, what offense he committed? Lord Shiva, he offended Vaishnava, Yata Sambhuji. He did not offend just a normal living entity or a jiva or anything. He offended the topmost Vaishnava. He offended Lord Shiva. So the reaction had to be severe. What happened, anyone knows, after that?
He got a goat head.
He got a goat head. Yeah, everyone knows the concept. That's right. So Veerabhadra came and chopped off this. Yes. Yeah. Some of the Brahmanas had their moustache, half of the moustache, not one of the full, shaved off.
And then they had some.
I think we should change the moustache. Right. So he offended the topmost Vaishnava, Lord Shiva, and then he got a head of the goat. And he, of course, he, being the devotee of the Lord, he begged forgiveness to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva also being topmost Vaishnava, forgave Daksha. But after that first manantara, he had to go and perform austerity for 5 manantaras. So after performing, and how long is manantara? Long time, okay, you won't be able to do that. It's a long, long time. Daksha performed for 5 manantaras, he performed austerities. And then now, which we are reading, this is the beginning of the 6th manantara. When everything was covered up, Prachitas went and performed austerities in the river, under the water. And then when they are coming back, now this is the 6th manantara, Chakshushan manantara going on. And when they are coming back, they are seeing that all this land is covered by trees. And what happens when anyone has got a garden here, a small garden or plant or something. So you grow something, fruit or vegetable or flower, then slowly the weeds grow in there. And when the weeds grow, what happens? Even if you have gone to India or if you neglect the plant itself shrinks and dies, but the weeds are stronger. So the weeds don't need any efforts to grow. So similarly here, we see when the prachetas went, all the trees and stuff, an unwanted vegetation grew, but there was no fruit, flowers, grains were not there. So prachetas tried to destroy everything by creating weeds and fire and everything. At that time, Soma, the god of vegetation, came and told, the moon god, came and told Prachetas not to do that. And then the trees gave their daughter Manisha to Prachetas. And by the union of the Prachetas and the Manisha, Daksha was born. So this is coming from the first Manvantara. Daksha is after performing so much of austerity, he comes back as Daksha in the sixth Manvantara. Now we understand what mistakes he has come here. So he is performing austerities and he is offering this prayers to Lord Vishnu. Another point to be understood here is now Daksha again at the end of third canto, Kapil Muni explains three kinds of devotional service. The three kinds of devotional service is bhakti in the mode of goodness, bhakti in the mode of passion, and bhakti in the mode of ignorance. So Kapil Muni is explaining these three kinds of person can perform bhakti in different modes. So to explain that, Sukadeva Goswami in the fourth canto is explaining these three pastimes. The first pastime he explains is of Daksha. So Daksha represents bhakti in the mode of ignorance. Because even though he was performing bhakti, he performed that yajna, but he was proud of that yajna and he offended a Vaishnava. So there is a lesson to learn from Daksha. Daksha is an interesting personality. Why? Because sometimes, and Prabhupada gives this example, if a mother-in-law wants to tell anything to his daughter-in-law, she will tell her daughter that you shouldn't do like this. And then the daughter-in-law understands that this is not to be done. So similarly, Daksha is that kind of personality. He is mentioned in Bhagavatam so that we understand what we shouldn't do in bhakti. And Daksha also offended Lord Shiva. So he is the example of bhakti in the mode of ignorance. And then the pastime of Guru Maharaj comes in fourth canto, which explains bhakti in the mode of passion. Why passion? Because he was performing bhakti to get something which is material. He was motivated by something which is material. So loud, so to speak, loud. That's right. So after he met he got darshan of Lord Vishnu, he became a pure devotee. And he said, what does he say after that, you know?
I was looking for the
Gopan
Shards
of Gulasa. That's right. So, he his bhakti began with passion, but then he became pure devotee. And he said, I was looking for broken pieces of glass, but now I got a diamond. When he had the darshan of the Lord. So he is the example of bhakti in the mode of passion. And then Sukadeva Goswami explains the third personality in fourth canto is Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj is the example of bhakti in the mode of goodness. So what did he do to become example of bhakti in the mode of goodness? So Prithu Maharaj performed 100 horse sacrifices. So when he was performing 100 horse sacrifices, the 100th one was stolen by Indra. So, and it happened like 7 or 8 times, or something, 7 times. Indra stole the horse, so Prithu Maharaj was not able to complete his 100th sacrifice. But then he still, his son went and brought Indra and he was about to punish, but then Lord Vishnu himself appears and says, your 100 sacrifices are accepted, you don't need to perform. And he immediately forgave Indra and immediately did not bother performing the 100 sacrifices. So he is an example of bhakti in the mode of goodness. He was not attached to the ritual. The goal of bhakti is to see the Lord face to face. So have love for it, and he already had that. And when Lord himself appeared in front of him, he was not attached to performing the 100 sacrifices. So we understand that these are the three personalities in fourth canto mentioned, exemplify bhakti in different modes. And Daksha is one who exemplifies the mode of ignorance, what we shouldn't do in bhakti. So here Daksha in this verse, which is interesting, because Daksha is speaking about three things: Kshetra, Kshetrajna, and the knowledge, Jnana. And where have we heard this? I've already given the answer.
Chapter 13
of the Bhakti Sastri. So, what is the name of chapter 13?
Nature,
enjoy, and consciousness. So, in that chapter, the first verse itself, Arjuna is asking Krishna, tell me about Kshetra. What is Kshetra? Kshetra means body. Then, tell me about Kshetrajna. Who is the knower of the body? Tell me about Prakriti, material energy. Tell me about Purusha, the supreme being. And, Jnana, the knowledge with which we can understand the Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Prakriti and Ishvara. And Jneha, what is the object of knowledge? So, he is asking these six questions. Arjuna is asking these six questions to Krishna just at the beginning of 13th chapter. And this, as it is explained here, what is Kshetra? As Daksha is mentioning, it is the matter, the body, the life acts, the external and internal senses, the five gross elements, and the subtle sense objects, form, taste, smell, sound, and touch. So this form the Kshetra. And what is the characteristic of Kshetra which is mentioned in this work? It cannot understand its own nature. Kshetra is, it does not understand its own nature, the nature of other senses and the nature of their controllers. So, example, this is important to understand because senses will act as the controller wants them to act without discrimination. The senses will not act as it is suitable or favorable. So, they will act without discrimination. The example is given, if you put a rasgulla in your mouth, what will happen if you are a healthy person? It will taste sweet, it will give you sweetness. It will not, the tongue will not say, oh, you are a diabetic patient, okay, let's not take the sweetness of the rasgulla. No. As soon as you put rasgulla in your mouth, the sweetness will add. As soon as you put chili in your mouth, it will be hot and spicy. It will not say, oh, you have got ulcers in your stomach, let's not take that. No, the senses will act indiscriminately. And so this is what it means. It does not care for the good and bad results of the controller. The controller has to bear those results. It's not the senses. So then, what is the other characteristics of Kshetra? It keeps changing. So today we might be able to, when we are healthy, we are able to taste everything and take benefits, whatever we eat, digest quickly, right? We can eat amount loads of sweets, whatever kind of food we want to eat when we are healthy, when we are in our 20s, 30s, 30s, 40s, we start to be good. So you can eat whatever and it will digest. But as you grow older, 40 plus, 50 plus, 60 plus, you have to make your choices wisely. Otherwise, it will create problems. The sweetest of things can create a lot of issues. So, this is the nature of Kshetra. Kshetra constantly changes and the results which it gives is different. So, as is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentioned right in the beginning of second chapter in his instructions, they know me, Yathade, Koma, Nirvana, Yathade, Andhra, Pathya, Dira, Sadrana, it keeps on changing. And as it is explained in this also, what are the characteristics of Kshetra? It is born, it grows, sustains for a while, produces offsprings, dwindles and death. So this is the nature of Kshetra, keeps on changing, it is not constant. On the other hand, what is Kshetrajna?
Knower of the body.
Knower of the Kshetra. One understands the Kshetra. Now there are two Kshetrajnas explained in the 13th chapter. One is the living entity itself, is a Kshetrajna, and the other is the Supreme Lord, Paramatma or Krishna. And so they are both of the spiritual nature. because they are of the spiritual nature, they can understand the shape, they can understand the matter. Otherwise, it is not possible. And they can understand the three qualities as it is explained in this verse. But the living being, because of his spiritual nature, can know his body, the life acts, the senses, the elements, the sense objects, and he can also know the three qualities that form their roots. So, the qualities, the three qualities form the roots of Kshetra. How do they form the roots of Kshetra? Because this body that we are receiving is because of the three modes which we chose to be in. Now, in this body, if you use this body predominantly in the ignorant activities or in the mode of ignorance, what will happen? The next body that you get, next Kshetra which you get, will be in the mode of ignorance. If you use this body mainly in the passionate way, what will happen? In the next life, you will get a body which is more passionate. If you use this body in the mode of goodness, in activities which are in the mode of goodness, the next body which you will get will be in the mode of goodness. You will get a better, higher body. And so, living entity or Kshetrajna can also know the three qualities that form their roots. So, nevertheless, as it is mentioned in the third part, although the living being is completely aware of them, he is unable to see the Supreme Lord, Supreme Being, who is omniscient and unlimited. So, interestingly, Bhagavad Gita has got five topics. What are the five topics which are talking about Bhagavad Gita? No, Ishwara. Prakriti. Jiva. Kala. Karma. So, Ishwara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma are the five topics which are discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Of this we see the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, they mainly describe Jiva. So they mainly describe the Jiva and they form the Karma section of the they describe the Karma section. And they explain how the Jiva acts in the material world. What is the position of a Jiva in the material world? And it culminates into the best of the Jiva. Who is the best of the Jiva? And at the end of sixth chapter, Krishna explains who is the best of the Jiva. Yoginamami, Sarvesam Madhyatinandharatma, Svatapatate Yoma, Samhita, Tamamata. So the whole first six chapters is basically explained about the constitution of who the Jiva is, what his nature is, and then who is the best of the Jiva. So basically, that means the Jivas are explained in the first six chapters. And then in the second six chapter, what is explained?
Ishwara.
Ishwara means. Ishwara and Jiva in relationship to Ishwara. So that bhakti is the essence. And in which you see the middle sixth chapter is explaining the supreme position of the Lord, Ishwara. And how the living entity is so infinitely small. And then in the last sixth chapter, or the seventh chapter, five chapters. So last five chapters is more about the Nama, where Prakriti is explained in detail. So where it is explained how the living entity comes under the influence of the material energy and falls down into the material realm. And then Krishna in the 18th chapter concludes, he gives the summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. So we have to understand this, why is the living entity in the material world? So what is the reason the living entity is in the material world? Because of avidya. And we know that cycle which is mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. So how does avidya, because of avidya one falls down into the material world, and then there is a seed of material desire which is sown into the heart of the living entity. Yesterday Sri Krishna Prabhu explained nicely how there are three bodies. There is Sushma Sarir or subtle body, there is Sthula Sarir, which is gross body, and then there is Karana. Karana Sarir, which is the cause of getting those bodies. So there is Vasana, and then there is Karma, and then there is Avidya in the Karana Sarir. So because of our unfulfilled desires and karma activities, we get this Sushma and Sthula. So gross and subtle bodies, depending on what desires we cultivate. So the reason why we are in this material world is because of that avidya. And then there is this desire, the seed, vijam, which is sown into the heart of the living entity. And because of those desires, one performs activities. One performs different activities. He performs papam. Why is it mentioned papam, not punyam as well? Because anything you perform in the material world, whether you do good or bad, good in the sense material good or bad, it will bind you. It will bind you to this material energy. So it is referred to in introduction, referred to as papam. And then for those papam, you have to get reactions, again, good or bad. So aprarabdha karma and prarabdha karma, which are manifested and unmanifested reactions. And depending on what reactions you get, which is this body as well, you will again perform the activities suitable to this body, and you will be, there is a seed of inclination, which is kutam. So, as it is mentioned, Prabhupada mentioned, the animals don't sit together and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Because their body is limited, and that is why we mentioned in the first paragraph, as it is mentioned here, the body does not have the ability to understand spiritual knowledge. So, it's very important that we get a suitable body. Even in humans, we have got so many categories. Not every human can just sit and open Bhagavad Gita and read it and understand it at first go. Even many of us might have got that experience. First time when you started Bhagavad Gita, you couldn't get past the index. So many times we were just reading the index just to motivate ourselves. Come on, we have to read this, finish it. I remember the first time when I read Bhagavad Gita, that was because there was the only time I was motivated to read was in the train. Because that half an hour going and coming, I had nothing else to do. So I said, this is the only time I can read for Bhagavad Gita. So I started reading that. I read it in 6, 7, 8 months, I don't remember how long, but I couldn't understand a single word of it. So even today, I don't understand Bhagavad Gita. But still, the first time when I read, I don't know what I read. So this is the consciousness of a living entity is so dull that you cannot understand spiritual subject matter just by approaching or getting this. So this is, as you mentioned, our avidya needs to be dissolved, our modes need to be dissolved. We have to come to the higher modes to understand spiritual subject matter. So there is a criteria which is for our subtle and gross bodies have to purify to come to the spiritual platform. So here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning about three living entities, the material scientists, the yogis and the devotees. So material scientists, because of their consciousness, because of their rejection of the Supreme Lord, they can never understand the Supreme Truth. The yogis, they can understand, because they are spiritually inclined, they can understand little bit, but still they can only go up to self-realization. They can only understand who the soul is, and they might even be able to understand a little bit of Paramatma, the difference between soul and Paramatma. But to understand Bhagavan, who is Ananta and unlimited, one has to come to the platform of pure bhakti. Only then you can understand the Bhagavan, who is full in 6 opulences. So what are the opulences mentioned? Beauty, strength, fame,
knowledge,
renunciation, and wealth. So beauty, fame, wealth, strength, knowledge, and renunciation. So these are the 6 opulences. So, and that too in full. How can we understand something which is in full? So we have to come to the platform of Nanam, knowledge. And that Nanam is explained, I will quickly summarize how Jnanam, because that three things. So Jnanam is, as it is mentioned again in the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, unless you understand Kshetra, Kshetrajna, and knowledge to understand that. So these three things, the Kshetra soul and the Super soul, these three things, if you, unless you understand, you will not be able to understand the Supreme Lord. And so this is what Jnanam is. The example I give for Jnanam is, suppose if you are desiring to go to India or overseas, what is the first step you will do? Sorry?
Visa.
Visa, yes. Visa. What else? Once you get visa? Book the tickets. How will you book your tickets? Sorry? Passports, visas, yes.
Right.
Flight center, or but you have to give some details to them, right? Find out the right flight timings, when you want to fly, when you want to come, and then
return also,
yes.
Stay there.
So you will plan your journey. So you will have all this flight details and visa and all this sorted out. And then what will you do? Sorry. Lovely.
Go on the flight,
that is important. If you book everything, but if you don't reach at the airport, what will happen? The flight will go, but you will not go anyway. So the important thing is, when you plan your journey, you book the flight, you plan for the flight details, you plan for all the journey, you also select which airlines you want to go to. You might not want to go to an airline which has got a record of crashing. I remember last time when there was a war, Ukraine-Russia war, one of the flights passed through that and was shot down, one of the airlines. After that time, that airline is selling flight tickets at half the price. So because its reputation went down. The same airline in the same year, the flight got disappeared and they don't even know till they where the flight is. In the middle of the ocean, it just disappeared. Right? So the reputation goes up. So you check for which flight the pilot is. Of course, we don't check the pilot, but we check the reputation of the flight because we understand that particular flight pilots are good. So this is important, this is knowledge. Whenever you are doing something, you need to have knowledge of source, destination, how to get there. And you make all those plans. So similarly, all these details of the flight is like a kshetra. And then you are the jiva. You have to go and board the plane. That is jiva has to go and board the plane. And who is the super soul compared to the pilot? Even though we don't know the pilot, and most of the time we don't care. And similarly, in our body, when we act, we don't care about the super soul. We act indiscriminately. But it is important to understand who the super soul is. It is important to understand who we are. And it is important to understand the kshetra. Only then we can advance in spiritual life. So if we understand all these details, we will reach our destination. So this is the example, and there are two more examples given. I'll quickly explain. Another example is given about the sky. In 13th chapter it is given. The sky, when you look outside, when you go on to the beach and look at the sky, what do you do? You see sky meeting the ocean, sky meeting the buildings. Horizon, right? So at what point does the sky meet the ocean? At what, if they meet the ocean at the horizon? So if you go there, will the sky meet the ocean? Then it does seem like that, right? That it is meeting the ocean. It moves away when you move. Yeah. So this is the understanding. Bhagavad Gita gives the example like a person sees the sky meeting the ocean, but in reality it does not meet. So that is knowledge. That is real knowledge, to understand that something which is there but it is illusory. Similarly, the second example is given, even though the sun is within the universe, but it's still different. Its light is spread all over the universe, but it's still different. Similarly, we have to understand even though Paramatma is sitting within the body and the soul is sitting within the body, the soul and the Paramatma are different to the body. So these are the examples given in Bhagavad Gita, which explains Kshetra, Kshetrajna and knowledge by which we can understand this. So I'll stop here. Any questions, comments? So it was more of a technical class, and because this is tomorrow will be a solution which is more applicable to how we can approach this, how we can tackle this problem. Yes.
Hare Krishna,
Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. The class. My question is that you were saying that in the material world we need knowledge. It's very important. We need knowledge to go back home as a body. But Krishna says that he says that if we take Sankhya knowledge, this that we can't go back to knowledge, we need love first. So how do you understand this?
Okay, so the question, if I understood right, is, as I mentioned, you need knowledge to go back home back to Godhead. But Krishna is saying Sankhya knowledge is not necessary to go back home back to Godhead. Yeah, of course. The Sankhya, so what is Sankhya knowledge? Yeah, so Sankhya knowledge is to understand that we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. So, as Kapil Muni is explaining in the third canto, the Sankhya knowledge should culminate into bhakti. So, we can, and this is one of the things we can see when the scientists study the body constituent ingredients, they will say, okay, so body consists of hydrogen, nitrogen, potassium, all these ingredients. So finally they come to the conclusion that this body is made up of chemicals. So that is Sankhya knowledge. So when you take individual parts, you come to the conclusion body is made out of this kind of chemicals. So that is Sankhya knowledge. So Sankhya knowledge itself is not sufficient to go back home, back to Godhead, or even to practice devotional life. So we have to come to the platform of by Sankhya knowledge and the knowledge, and that is why I mentioned all three have to be together. Kshetra, the field of activity, which is Sankhya knowledge, will bring you to the understanding of what the body is. Kshetrajna. Kshetrajna is, as we mentioned, there are two Kshetrajnas, soul and Paramatma or Krishna. So we have to have the knowledge of them as well, and that complete knowledge will bring you to devotional life and will take you back home, back to it. So it's not only Sankhya knowledge, but along with Sankhya you need knowledge of the soul and super soul. So that knowledge, and that is why it is mentioned knowledge is important. It's not that knowledge is not important. Knowledge is important because without knowledge, without scriptures, you cannot understand those things. But it's transcendental knowledge. It's not material science. It's spiritual science you have to understand. Yeah, answer. Any other questions? Anything that is spiritual has got consciousness, and in the spiritual world everything is spiritual. And everything that is there is conscious. There is nothing like even the dust of the speck of sand is conscious. Even the trees are conscious. They understand Krishna's mood and they provide that kind of fruits and flowers and Krishna. So yeah, thank you for bringing that one. Thank you. Okay, we'll stop here. Ranprashana Bhagavan, Jai Prabhupada.
Yeah.